Go to John chapter 17, please. John 17. I'm glad I'm preaching to family this morning, amen. It makes me feel easier. John 17, please. You know, I was thinking of this. The rougher your week that you go through, and we all go through some rough weeks at times, but that makes for the worship on a Sunday all the sweeter. Amen? Because we've done it for Him. The struggle has been for Him and for one another. Amen? John 17. Now we're dealing with the subject of unity. And unity is very important. Amen? In John chapter 17, we see our Lord's prayer. And He's praying here a very passionate prayer. It's the only where in the Bible where He calls the Father, Holy Father. Amen? And it's a passionate prayer. And there's a depth to this prayer that we're going to look at a little bit. I want you to see that in chapter 18, He's going to the garden. He's going to give His life. But before that, He says these words in John 17, verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And then He goes on and says, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." Amen. The truth of God's word. And then verse 20, "Neither pray I for thee alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." See, the thing is, God wants to not alone establish a church, but He wants to grow a church. Amen. He wants the church to grow. And the way we grow is through unity. And then in verse 21, "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." And the reason for that unity is so that the world would believe that thou hast sent me. Amen. If we have this unity in the body, if we have this unity where there's a click here and there's different things going on in the church, man, it's the Lord. It's the Lord at the end of the day. It's His church. And we reflect a poor testimony on this world. So the idea this morning is to have unity. It says there in verse 21, I want you to notice one word here, "that they all may be one." Notice the word, "as thou, Father, art in me." The same unity that is supposed to be in the church is the same unity that the Father had towards the Son and towards the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Trinity, how the unity of the Trinity is the same type of unity that we can have in the church. Amen. And we can have in our families. That's the kind of unity. And that is an incredible thing if we can get a hold of it. And then He tells of the purpose of that unity in verse 21. The purpose is that they world may believe that thou hast sent me. What a powerful testimony we would be in this world if we were a unified body. The world would know that is a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, that He has sent us. Now, the thing I want you to see here is, now Jesus prays for unity because He knows how crafty the devil is. The devil is very crafty. And you're going to have things that will happen in church that are going to happen. And you better be ready for them. If you've been in church long enough, you know that things are going to go wrong. Because we're family. And it's just like a brother or sister. You know, your brother takes your tie and or something like that when you're young. And the same thing happens in a church. Things go wrong in a church, but you're going to have to deal with it with a spiritual mind, amen. But an understanding that there's something happening here. The one enemy that we all have is the devil, and he doesn't want unity in the church because he knows the value of unity, amen. He knows how valuable unity is if we can only get a hold of it. But when there is unity in church, there is power that comes from on high. Notice what it says in 1 Timothy, please. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. When we truly have biblical unity in a church, we have a power of incredible proportion. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15. "Which in times he shall show you who is the blessed and only Pontius, the King of kings and Lord of lords." That word Pontius means we get the word omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's powerful, amen. And if we can have that in our church, if we have unity, because we have to be as individual members connected to the head, amen, because that's where the power comes from. It doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from our ability. It comes from the head. But if we as members have that in our understanding, where the power source is the head, Jesus is the head, and that needs to filter down onto me, where I get my power from the head. There's no other power source other than the head. Now, let me just make this statement. The greater the unity, the greater the power. The weaker the unity, the weaker the power. You know why churches are weak today? Because they don't have power. They don't have a body that's going the one direction. Because that's where power is. And you know, if we could only have a sense of together we stand, divided we fall. We're going to fall. You know, we need each other. I need you. You need me. Because we cannot stand on our own. We're going to fall. And if you're a Christian for a couple of years, you know that you begin to value the church. The church becomes something you begin to value because you see us as a collective body, and together we stand, but divided we fall. Now the enemy, he wants to divide us. He wants to divide you. He wants to see a husband and wife divided. He wants to see a church divided. He wants to see the kids just go in different directions. And we need to understand it's a spiritual battle we face. Churches in this day, go to Revelation chapter 3, please. Revelation chapter 3. We live in the Laodicean age. Revelation 3. And this is one of the churches here that the Lord rebukes. Revelation 3, verse 14. Unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And notice verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. And the thing I want you to see here is, we become a church. If we don't have unity in our church, we might have the riches or the increase with goods and all that kind of stuff. But if we don't have unity, we don't have power. We will be lukewarm in our approach to this life. And the world will see us as lukewarm. Amen? The world will see us as lukewarm. It's just going to happen. One of the things. And then what you see is the Bible Baptist Church of Ballincollig ought to be different. Amen? We ought to be different. This church ought to be different. Amen. The work that began here several years ago, it needs to continue. And we ought to be different because we need to have unity among us. Amen. And when a church grows, you're going to see problems develop. Different things are going to happen. People are going to rub each other the wrong way. It's just going to happen. But you need to have an understanding that, man, keep the unity at all costs. Amen. If we have a Bible that tells us to be right in doctrine, let us keep unity in our hearts, where we would have one prayer in our hearts, just to be unity, where we would understand that this is the Lord's church, amen. Yeah. He purchased it with his blood. Yeah. We need to keep the unity, amen. That's right. And then let me say this. This morning I want to preach about this subject of striving or endeavoring to keep that unity alive. Go to, let's just pray first. Father, please help me. Oh God, I have a burden in my heart. I just ask you to help me now, I pray. Please block out everything in my mind. Just let me focus on you this morning. And please help me, Lord. Give me, oh God, just your message. And I don't have strength. I don't have ability, Lord. You're all that I need. You're the sufficient one. And I ask this in Jesus' lovely conquering name. Amen. It's one thing to achieve in the body, to have unity in the body. It's another thing to keep that thing alive. Amen? It's another thing to keep that thing alive. Because the devil is so crafty. And you're not going to be able to figure out the wiles of the devil. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, please. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He is crafty. He knows exactly what he's doing. You're not going to be able to figure out when things happen, just why they happen. But he, man, he's behind it all. When churches split, man, and when churches, when a brother is not talking to a sister is not talking to a brother, usually what's happened is there's been an area where they have not agreed on something, and then the devil gets in there when that thing's not resolved. Just to be sure, the devil gets in there, and he will conquer that thing, and he will put something in your mind, and he will put bars up in your mind where you will never want to talk to that brother or sister again. And then let me say this. Now, as a church family, we are not perfect. We are a church full of imperfect people. Joseph, you're imperfect still. It's just the way you are. It's just the way we are. We will only be perfect when we see the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When we fly away. Amen. When we fly away. If you have been in church long enough, you know that this is true. You know, as a church, we're growing. And we're going to have more problems develop. I mean, you think about this. You think about as the church grows and new believers come in. Man, you're just going to have more problems. But that's good, amen? Because we're supposed to grow. And we're supposed to have problems, amen? There's supposed to be things going on in church where there's conflict and things like that. But we're supposed to be able to work them out, amen? We're supposed to have the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart where we work things out, amen? We're not supposed to quit on each other. We're not supposed to quit on each other. If we deal properly with the hurt, it will keep that unity alive if we deal properly with that work. Now, my message this morning is endeavoring to keep the unity. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Message this morning is endeavoring to keep that unity alive. Ephesians 4, verse 1 says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that he walk worthy of the vocation where you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Notice verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen. Now, the first thing you see there in verse 1 is the walk of the Christian. I therefore, the Apostle Paul says, a prisoner of the Lord beseech you that he walk worthy of the vocation where we are called. Now, we have a high calling, amen. We have the highest calling. The blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, indwells my heart. And I have the highest calling in this whole world. I am to represent him in this world, amen. I'm to represent him to my family. I'm represent him to my co-workers. I have the highest calling that this world has ever known. Amen. And we need to realize this, that it's a high calling. And then the character of the Christian, verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. That is the mind of Christ. Amen. One thing you have to realize is you cannot do it in your own flesh. You will fail. Amen. You will fail. It's just the way it happens. You cannot be a husband and wife together and expect to have the threefold card there unless you're both in agreement and go in the one direction. Amen. And the same thing with a church. You cannot do that. And then let me show you, before we get into this, the seven unities here in verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in the hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There's one body, that's the church, amen. There's one spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. There's one hope, that's salvation, amen. There's no other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. One Lord, that's Jesus, amen. He's the only Lord. And there's one faith, that's a faith once delivered unto the saints, according to Jude chapter 1. And there's one baptism, that's being buried in his death and raised in his likeness, amen. That is the glory seven unities here. And then I want you to see in verse 1, I therefore, the reason it's therefore is the reason, amen. You have to look back to the previous verses. Look back to verse 20. of the previous chapter, chapter 3. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Notice that word power there. There's power that worketh in us because we're connected to the head. Amen. And notice verse 21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The only way we can bring glory to the Father is by having that power. Amen. And that's the source of a spiritual life. Let me just talk about four things that will help us this morning, that will keep that unity, endeavoring to keep that unity alive. The first thing I want to talk about is spiritual awareness. Spiritual awareness. Now, you're going, as I said, you're not going to be able to figure out how the wiles of the devil work, how the plans, his craftiness, how he schemes things. You're not going to be able to figure that thing out. So you better be spiritually aware of what he's doing. It is spiritual awareness is due with our walk, amen. Notice what it says in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, please, Galatians 5. Now we always look at Galatians 5, 16, and that's a good verse. But the context here is important. The context of Galatians 5, 16 is important. Notice what it says in verse 13. For brethren, we have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if he bite and devour one another, take heed that he be not consumed one of another. Amen. No one's going to win. And then, notice what the verse 16 says then. But this I say then, because of this, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. It's as simple as that. If we only will, as Christians, walk in the Spirit, we'll have spiritual awareness of the battle that takes place in a spiritual realm. Amen. Walk in the Spirit. And then also, walk circumspectly. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, please. Ephesians chapter 5. Walk circumspectly. Man, we have to open our spiritual eyes because the enemy, he will attack this church. Amen. He will attack this church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Wherefore, he said, awake thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then he walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. That's being alert, amen. And it's being spiritually alert, where we realize that there is an enemy, and he wants to attack. He wants to attack our homes, and he wants to attack our church, amen. And he knows if he can get in there, he can cripple the work. He can cripple us so that we can't go forward. And that's what he's good at. If we will allow him, we have the spiritual discernment here, amen. It is to do with the mind. The devil wants to defeat you in the mind, amen. Notice what it says in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, just a few pages, or just over there. Ephesians chapter 6. Notice what it says in verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now the helmet goes around the head. It's for the protection of the mind, amen. It's the helmet of salvation. And it's the Word of God that helps us, give us an understanding that that's where the battle takes place. And we need to be able to have a renewed mind every day of our lives. That old mind that you woke up with this morning, that's no good, amen. It begins when you yield yourself unto the Lord and go, oh Lord, I yield myself unto you. And then you get into God's word, amen. You get into God's word. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Because the only mind that is worth to anything is the mind of Christ, amen. It's not our minds. Our minds will make a mess of it, amen. And notice what it says in Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I remember when I was a young Christian, and I used to watch ungodly stuff on the TV and stuff like that. And, you know, I'd sit down to watch something, and couple hours later, just the carnal mind getting in there. Just my mind becoming carnal. And this verse, the Lord used to always bring this verse to mind. Notice what it says in verse 6, Romans 8 verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. It brings forth death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen. Just to be spiritually minded. And then it says in verse 7, because the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it. And I love verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We cannot keep unity in our church by our own ability, amen. It's not by the might of our strength. It's by humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, allowing the Holy Spirit of God to get into our hearts, allowing the Word of God to get into our hearts. And then we can have the mind of Christ, amen, where we walk circumspectly in this world and we are spiritually aware of the battle that will take place. It's not if. Are you listening? It's not if. It will take place. It will take place in your homes. It will take place in this church. We need to have where we work things out, amen, where we have resolve. It's to do with the mind. It's to do with your spirit. Now, this is small spirit here. In your King James Bible, capital S is Holy Spirit, amen. When it's small s, it's your spirit. I'm made up of body, soul, and spirit. The key to getting the heart fixed, I believe, is in your spirit. Notice what it says in Proverbs now, please. Proverbs. Proverbs 18, please. Proverbs 18 and verse 14. Now, your spirit is the attitude, amen. It's your attitude. And when you have the mind of Christ, you have a sweet attitude, amen, towards church. Notice what, because Jesus loves that church, amen. And notice what it says in Proverbs 18, verse 14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Then if we equip ourselves with the Word of God, we can take a heart and we can bear it, amen? We can keep going. Because the spirit, it's the spirit of man, will sustain his infirmity. And also, just a few pages over there, it talks about a little verse in Proverbs 20, verse 27. The spirit of man, dealing with the attitude here, amen, is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. You need God's spirit. It's like it's his candle in us. And it shows us the motives and intents of our heart, amen, when we are going through stuff. And he shows us what to do. So we need to have an understanding of that. The Holy Spirit gives you rule over your spirit, amen. Go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Do you ever wonder why you fly off the handle or you lose your temper? It's because the Word of God's not in your heart, amen. There's something, because if you truly have rule over your own spirit, you have control of your spirit, amen. Notice what it says in Proverbs 16, verse 32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Amen. Just think about that. Just having rule over our own spirit is better than he that taketh a city. I believe Alexander the Great conquered the whole known world. But if I am to be able to conquer my own spirit, if I am to rule over my spirit, I am greater than Alexander the Great. Amen. I'm greater than any dictator has ever lived if I've just ruled over my spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit gives you rule. The Holy Spirit enlightens you of what is really going on. And then the first thing you need to do, I was thinking of this, the first thing you need to do when someone, maybe it's by accident, or maybe it's just the way things are, you get into church, and what happens is you begin to become friends with people, and that's good, amen, but sooner or later you're going to get hurt. It's just the way it's going to happen. Christians are not perfect, but they need to be able to deal with that. And the first thing you need to be able to do is you need to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, amen. Because you don't know what your flesh is capable of if you don't do that, amen. You need to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And then you need to plead the blood upon that situation where God gets into that thing and you'll be able to work things out. Amen. He will show you what to do if you only will allow him into that situation. Amen. The worst thing we used to do is just to get that thing in your mind where the devil becomes to make it bigger and bigger and bigger. Eventually, man, that thing becomes huge. And a lot of times, we don't have a spiritual awareness to deal with the enemy when he attacks. So, and then the devil doesn't. The Bible says also in 2 Corinthians now, please. 2 Corinthians. And as a Christian, you need to know this. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. Lest Satan should get the advantage of us. For we're not ignorant of his devices. And his devices, man, we need to be careful where we don't think we would understand that he is able to really shake our cage if we allow him. He's very capable of doing that. And we need to understand that. And then also, it's back to Ephesians chapter 3 again, please. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that he be rooted and grounded in love. That Christ may do, or in verse 18, that be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with the fullness of God. Now we have something that this world knows nothing of. That is the love of Christ. That is Calvary's love, amen. It's something that is so special if we will own him. And the Bible says, you know how you get Calvary's love? You just simply walk in the Spirit. That's all you have to do. You walk in the Spirit. And the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. And that is a very special love that will help us understand that, man, just to walk with him. It is evident as soon as we walk in the Spirit. The world knows nothing of us. Is even some Christians don't know the full extent of this kind of love. Go to 2 Corinthians. You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is dealing with different churches. And the Corinthian church, they didn't fully understand what Paul was doing. Paul was only trying to encourage them. He was only trying to make them men and women of God. And notice what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. And I will gladly, very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Man, just think of that for a second. This is the Apostle Paul. And he poured out his life for these Corinthians. And yet they didn't fully understand that. They didn't comprehend that. They argued, the flesh got in there, the devil got in there, and there was divisions and stuff like that. And it was just a complete mess. And we need to be careful. You know, I'm glad we have a faithful pastor. And at times, Pastor Craig's going to preach. And he's going to preach hard messages. You know, the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. He's trying to wound us so he can heal us so that we can be better. Amen. But we need to understand, at times you're not going to fully, even as a young Christian, you're not going to fully understand that. But he does it out of love. Amen. The motive is love. Is love. And it's a love for this church. Amen. And then, most Christians, also the Holy Spirit, that teaches us about that love. It says there in Ephesians chapter, just go back to Ephesians chapter 3 again. And we're talking about endeavoring to keep that unity alive. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all the saints the breadth and length and depth and height. You just have to understand, you're not going to understand this in your own ability. You're going to understand this when the Holy Spirit gets into your heart and just shows you the magnitude of that love. It passes all understanding. You're not going to be able to get a hold of it with your mind. It's a heart thing, amen? It's something in the heart. It's something the Lord does in your heart. And what he does is he knits us together in that kind of love. Now, I honestly believe that Christians don't fully understand the extent of that love. Because when there is a schism, when there is something happens in the church, and when people there's trouble in church, man, we ought to have that love of Christ in our hearts where we go, okay, but it's Calvary's love that needs to be here. And then also when you see it's sacrificial love, a great verse in the Bible, go to John chapter 15, please. John chapter 15. This is a familiar verse, but I don't believe you can ever get too familiar with this verse. John 15 and verse 13, greater love had no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus proved that love, amen. It was sacrificial love in nature. He proved it to us. He laid down his life for us. Let me give you an example in the Old Testament of a type and picture of what the Lord did on Calvary. And it's just pictured in the Old Testament. Go to Genesis chapter 22, please. Genesis 22. You will never understand the love of God, amen. But the older you get in your Christian life, the more you begin to want to go in awe of that love. Just the magnitude of that kind of love. Genesis 22, and this here is Abraham, and he's dealing with Isaac. And we see a picture here. It says there in Genesis 22, verse 1, came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into land Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Now the thing that was most precious to Abraham was his son. This was his son of promise. This was a son that God gave to him in his old age. This was everything to Abraham, amen. It meant everything. And here you see a picture of what Jesus must have meant to the Father. Amen. Notice what it says in verse 8. And Abram said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And then verse 12. And he said, lay not thine hand upon... Now here he's getting ready to offer him upon the altar. And God intervenes and says, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou my... neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son from me. And here you can hear the heart of God. You can hear the heart of God saying, I know this is your son, this is your only son. And you have to think about it in your mind, God is going, yeah, that's what I'm going to do at Calvary. I'm going to give my son, my only son. And if you have kids, you realize how precious one kid is. Just to have one kid or one child. And then think of offering that child as a sacrifice. Man, for the likes of me and for the likes of you. It blows my mind away. Let me show you what true love is. Go to Deuteronomy, please. Deuteronomy. You know, why in the world does God love us? You ever wonder that? Why? What did he ever see in me? It says in Deuteronomy 7, verse 7, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because ye were more in number than any people, for we were fewest of all people, talking about Israel, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, had the Lord brought you with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. It's because the Lord loves you. You cannot explain it. You cannot explain it. It's because he loves you. Amen? I mean, that thrills my heart. I don't know what he ever saw in me, because I know how wicked my old flesh is. I know how the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. I know my own heart. I cannot understand for the life of me how God could love me, amen, and could love this whole world, amen. And when he died in Calvary, he died for every vile, wicked sin this world has ever known. Amen. He died for every sin, every conceivable wicked imagination of the mind. He died for everything. And he died in your place. Amen. And the greatest thing you'll ever know is Calvary's love. Because you're not going to find it in this world. It's only in the pages of this book. Amen. The greatest love story that this world has ever known. Greatest love story the world has ever known. And it's pictured in Abraham here. Then it's an unfeigned love. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, please. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, 1 Peter was written in a time of persecution, or the beginning of persecution. But these Christians, man, they knew how to love each other. They loved on each other. And we need to be a church where we love on each other, amen? Notice what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, amen? Where we love each other. And it's not this kind of love where I say I love you, brother, and do nothing about it. It ought to be evident in our life. If I love you, you should know it. And if you love me, there ought to be something in my heart saying, I know it. And I'm glad to be a part of this church because I know as brothers and sisters here that love me, amen. And I might go through different things in my life, but I know I have a church to go to. I know I have a family where the presence of God is, amen, where we're brothers and sisters in Christ. It's an unfeigned love. There's no pretense there. No pretense. It's real. Amen. It is where I truly love you as my brother and sister in Christ and that you would know it. And it's not just in words, but it's in action. Romans 5:8 says, God commended his love towards us while we're yet sinners. Christ died for us. Amen. And it says, and that kind of love is unfeigned, amen. It's where we don't talk about each other, amen. Because you're my brother and sister in Christ. Notice what it says in Proverbs chapter 6, please. Proverbs chapter 6. I know I'm a little bit all over the place, but the Lord knows. He knows my heart. Proverbs chapter 6. And the Lord says here, in verse 16, these six things that the Lord hates, even seven, they're an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, a hands that shed innocent blood, a heart devised wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running into mischief, a false witness to speak lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Man, the Lord hates that, and we ought to hate that, amen? It's where we don't gossip about each other, amen. Go to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Man, the devil, he will use that old the old mind in us, where we begin to, just tailbear, just talk about and things we shouldn't say, and we ought to have an understanding that the devil will get a hold of that, and he can put ruin in a church because of that. Just a tailbear, it puts a fire, it puts strife in our church. Amen. We ought to be careful of that. Amen. Just because we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and also let me just say this: it's. Just go to 1 Peter now, please. 1 Peter chapter 4. You know, the Lord, he's going to test your ability to love your brother or your sister. He's going to allow the enemy to come in here, and he's going to allow testings to go on to see if you truly do love your brother or sister. Notice what it says in 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 4, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Now we need to have fervent charity. Not just charity, but fervent charity. That's where we, man, when heart occurs, when Joseph gets up here and he insults me, I'm supposed to have charity with Joseph, amen. I'm supposed to have it because he's my brother in Christ. That's just the way it's supposed to be. Man, charity is something that we need to get a hold of because it's rich. Charity is God's love in me. It's the glue that holds us together, amen. It's the glue that just puts a bond upon us. Charity allows me to overlook the sins of my brother and sister. Charity gives a person that is my accuser, or gives me the person that has offended me, it gives them the benefit of the doubt, amen. I mean, my goodness, it's like in church, you get to know someone and everything is going fine. Then one thing, maybe I have a bad day and I insult someone, and maybe it's just an accident. Maybe I didn't even know I was doing it. Or maybe I did it on purpose. Maybe I'm backslidden. But, I mean, just realize, I have my bad days too. You're going to have your bad days. Have fervent charity with each other, amen. Yeah. Man, we're not perfect here. We're sinners saved by grace. Let's just have charity with each other when something occurs where the Lord can get in there and heal that thing, amen. It's fervent charity, one with another, amen. Notice the importance of charity. Chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 13, please. The importance of charity. And unless we have charity in our church, we're going to fall apart, amen. I don't care what way we are, we're going to fall apart. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries, and have all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And notice the fruit of charity here in verse 4. Charity suffereth long. That's how we need to be with our kids, amen. Now I'm getting convicted. And is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh. Notice that those three last words. Thinketh no evil. Man, if we could get to the point where we would think no evil about each other, amen. Where our minds, when that enemy puts something in our minds, where we go, we would cast down. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, amen. If we could get like that in our church, we would have unity in the body of Christ, amen. Unity where we would have an understanding of just how good he is, amen. Just how good he is. And then, you know, if we don't have unity, that thing snowballs. That thing gets bigger and bigger. Even the husband and wife, if there's no charity there, you know, I'm glad 1 Corinthians 13, when Aline and myself were getting married, that was the scripture we picked out. Because, you know, there's been times where the Lord has tested us. And let me just say, she's one incredible lady. I'm so glad of it. But just let me say this as well. We're going to have charity, amen. You know, you never start off being bitter towards someone. Do you know that? You never start off being bitter towards someone. It starts with an unforgiving heart. And then it's progressive. Then it develops into anger. And then eventually, there's a root of bitterness that takes place. And that root of bitterness, once it gets in there, is very, very deep. Go to Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 14 says this, follow peace with all men. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man should fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. It doesn't say just the two people who are at odds with each other will be defiled, but it says many will be defiled. Amen. Many will be defiled. I'll say this, you never start off envious towards someone. Proverbs 27:4 says, wrath is cruel, anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? We looked at David and Saul in youth camp, and you know, David or Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s, and the envy that got into Saul's mind, how he wanted to kill him. But it started off But his pride was hurt, amen. His pride was hurt. And that led to anger. And eventually, there's envy there. And the Bible says, who is able to stand before envy? Amen. And that's the end result of unforgiveness. That's the end result of not dealing with the problem, amen. And then finally, there's the bond of peace. We ought to be peacemakers, amen. We ought to be peacemakers. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 now. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Just narrow a few scriptures, we've finished. Ephesians 4, endeavoring to keep the unity in the Spirit in the bond of peace. Just to be striving for peace. Now, the Bible says in Romans 14:19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another. It says that also Romans 12. Go to Romans 12, please. Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 17. Recompense. That means payback. No man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much that lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Then we ought to strive for peace. Amen. We ought to strive for peace, that we would be at peace with each other, because He, listen here, He is the Prince of Peace, amen. And He wants us as a church to have peace with another. It says there, go to Acts chapter 3, please. It says there in Isaiah 9:6 that He is the Prince of Peace. And then just go to Acts. Acts chapter 3. Just a few more scriptures and we'll be finished. Acts 3 and verse 15. Actually, verse 14. But he denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Peace, whom God has raised from the dead, wherefore we are witnesses. You know what the Lord wants? He wants, you know, when two people fall out with each other, He wants one of them to be a peacemaker. And He says, blessed is the peacemaker, amen. It says in Matthew chapter 5, blessed is the peacemaker. Because when you make peace with one another, and maybe you aren't even the one wronged, maybe they were guilty, but you take the first step and you make the peace, and God is pleased, amen. And sometimes even in a marriage situation, that needs to happen. And it's just something that we need to be able to do, is make peace regardless, because the enemy will get in there, amen. He will get in. He will get in there. And Jesus called the Prince of Peace then in Isaiah 9:6 as well. But do we really understand that as a church, man, we've got a blessed, wonderful hope here. You know, that the Lord Jesus Christ, He wants to not just be a light in Ballincollig. This is bigger than just Ballincollig. This needs to be not just Ballincollig, but all the towns around it, all the villages around it, where the Lord will give us the unity, give us power in the midst of Bible Baptist Ballincollig, where we start planting churches, and then where the gospel go forth. It's bigger than just one church, amen. And if we don't have unity, man, the whole thing falls apart. It stops right here, amen. Stops right here. So we need to have unity where I don't care what the problem is, the Lord is able to break down those barriers. Go to one more verse, Proverbs 18. Usually what happens in a church when things have not been dealt with properly is this right here. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, verse 19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. You know what happens when we're offended? We put the bars up and we protect ourselves because we're not going to be offended no more. But we need to have an understanding that, you know, it says harder to be one. It doesn't say it's impossible. Amen? Because everything is possible. The Lord says, just to be able to deal with the situation, to work things out, God says everything is possible. And you may feel like in your mind, a brother is offended. You cannot ever get along with that brother. It's gone beyond. But you don't understand the power of the blood. You don't understand just what Jesus did on the cross. You don't fully understand that because he says that he can notice one last verse. Colossians, please. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians, please. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. That all is a big all, amen. It's all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. Man, don't limit the cross, amen. Don't limit the blood. It can reconcile. It can fix anything, amen. It can fix a broken marriage. It can fix a church where two people are odds with each other. It can do that if we only will humble ourselves underneath the mighty hand of God. If only we will understand that it's Jesus' church, amen. And when we are hurting a brother or sister, we're hurting the Lord, amen. We need to understand that because it's his church. He purchased it with his blood. Unity is worth everything, amen. If we can only have a unity, and it's unity that comes with Jesus being the head, amen. Nothing short of that. Jesus needs to be the head. He needs to be the head because that's where the power is. All things are possible through the cross. Jesus prays for that unity. Just before he goes to the cross, just before he gives his life for the sins of this world, just before his body is racked with pain, he prays and says, "Oh, I pray, Father, that they would be one even as we are one." Amen. We need to understand that. Have a spiritual awareness. Have a Calvary's love one for another. Have fervent charity with one another. And have the bond of peace. Amen. Now, if you're here today and you've never understood any of this, let me say very simply, it begins by just allowing the Lord Jesus Christ, just by repenting of your sin. And the Bible says in Isaiah, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray." It says, we've each of us turned our own way. And the Lord laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And we need to understand that the only peace we can have in our hearts is when the Prince of Peace reigns in our hearts. Amen. And he does that by coming into our lives and hearts. The Bible says in Revelation 3:20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice," if you hear the voice of God this morning, of the Lord Jesus Christ, would you open that door? Just allow Jesus to come in. He is the Prince of Peace. And he will put peace in your heart. Peace that passes all understanding. And you can be saved this morning. Don't put it off. The enemy, he's a thief. He wants to steal. He wants to steal, destroy your life. But Jesus says, "I want to give you life. I want to give it more abundantly." You can have that abundant life this morning if you only will ask him. Ask him to be your Savior. It's as simple as that. For every one of us here, we've all one problem. And that's sin. But Jesus paid it all, amen. That judgment was on Calvary. When Jesus suffered, died for the sins of the whole world, he died for your sin and my sin. And we need to believe that, amen. And you can be saved this morning if there's anyone here who's not saved, amen. And then secondly, let me just say this. The greatest thing you'll ever understand, the greatest thing you'll ever get hold of, is the value of a local New Testament church, amen. Just the unity that needs to be in the body. And that gives us power in this world. It gives us power in our families. It gives us power as a body of Christ in this world, striving together for the faith of the gospel, amen. That's the most important thing at the end of the day. You're going to get your hurts, but you better know how to deal with those hurts, amen. You need to be able to deal with those hurts because He is the only Savior, the Lord and King. Let us just bow our heads and close our eyes, please. Oh, Father, You're all sufficient, Lord. You're all sufficient. Father, I thank You so much. Thank You for You're a good God. You've been so good to me. Thank You, Lord. Father, I just pray now, if there's anyone here not saved, Lord, I pray You deal with them. And if the Lord has spoken to your heart, if the Lord has spoken to anyone's heart here today, and you need to be saved, maybe you put it off and you've been in church for a long, long time, and you put it off, and you put it off, and you put it off, but you know the Lord is speaking to you. Just let me just say this. I only got about 3 chances. I hate to think if I didn't get that 3rd chance, if I didn't get saved that time in the street corner, would there have been another chance? See, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You better make sure of your salvation today, because something tragic could happen to you. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. Something tragic could happen to you. The Bible says, boast not thyself on tomorrow. You don't know what a day is going to bring forth. So today is the day of salvation. Anyone here that's not saved, and you just want to get saved, if you want, just slip up your hand. All I'm going to do is pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to take long. And secondly, if there's anyone here, and maybe there's something, maybe you've got aught with your brother, you need to go to that brother and get that thing fixed. You need to do it. You need to not put it off, but you need to do it. Because we're supposed to have peace with each other. And then we would be a power to be reckoned in this world. Father, I thank You for this day. Thank You for being so good. Lord, I just ask that You would help us now, Lord. And thank You for being so good. And we ask all these things in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. If you please stand.